Hello, I'm RJ City, and you are listening to the Monster Cast. You're going to talk about Bela Lugosi. They're going to talk about Lon Chaney Jr. He'd be so sad, holding his hat, saying, "Please put me in this room and don't unlock the door." And you can't do any better than the Dahl brothers, Jack and Ryan. They're brothers, but they're also bros. What? Pardon? Wrestling. Well, who the hell wants to talk about wrestling? These are horror movies. It's the deep genre. It's a smart genre. Fantastic actors. Fantastic cinematography. Wrestling is just sweating and fireworks and bouncy ropes. There's nothing inside. How can you talk about that every week? All right. Let's see them try. Take it away, you crazy dolls.
You.
Jesus, fuck. Fuck my fucking ass. What the fuck? Please shut up.
No. Like Master
Please
Watto is a
shut
champion.
Up.
You're gonna put some respect
Stop
on his name now.
Stop fucking saying Master Watto on this fucking
IWGP
show.
IWGP Junior Heavyweight Co-Champion.
What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap, Fightful here. You're watching the Monster Cast with Jack and Ryan. A big shout out to those fellas. Good people. Check them out.
Oh my god, what is this?
It looks
like
a TV.
The New Japan titles, they need to stop making titles.
It looks like a TV, bro. They took it too literally. That's the problem.
They should have just turned it into a TV. I would have been more impressed.
That would have been cooler.
Put some antennas on the top.
No, just make it like a digital title. Like, it, you could display whatever you want on the digital.
Oh, like
title.
An LCD screen?
Yeah.
And then have the picture of the person that's the champ. That'd be so good. That'd be worth it.
Wrestling podcast. How fucking original.
Jake and Brian. Brandon Cutler here from AEW, and I hope you guys have an awesome podcast with the Monster Cast. What was that? Your name is Jack and Ryan? Shut up, Jack and Ryan.
Tell me who you would sign first.
Hiroshi Tanahashi.
No, not overall, genius. Between the two goddamn examples I'm about to give you.
Master Wada.
Killer Cross or Dominik Dijakovic, who are you signing first?
Killer Cross, 100%.
What the fuck?
Absolutely.
Wrong! That answer is wrong!
I would.
Oh my god.
You don't know shit! Your opinions suck!
I guess I just, I mean... You're welcome.
But I don't think I've ever said boo.
I will.
That's so stupid.
I'll do it.
Boo.
You can't. Don't actually say the word because that's why it sounds weird. You got it. It's like more like a note.
Boo.
You don't fucking actually say boo.
No.
Boo. 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 You don't turn it into a fucking chant. You actually have to.
I will. I'm gonna do that at Forbidden Door.
You just start a boo chant. Boo.
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 Boo. Boo.
Here's your host of the Monster Cast, the Straight Edge Monster Jack and Ryan.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Monster Cast. I'm your host, the Straight Edge Monster Jack. That's Ryan over there. And I don't know what we're going to talk about today. There's not a lot to talk about in wrestling. Can you think of anything that has happened we need to cover on the show? Of course,
that fucking hat.
This hat is amazing. And my ultimate Christmas ugly sweater t-shirt, Ultimate Warrior t-shirt is amazing too. Let's not start hating right off the bat, okay, guy?
Don't pop up on camera right with that shit right off the bat, and then there won't be no hating.
Fucking great.
Nothing else really. The Brody King match was good.
Oh, there, yes, the Brody King upset the only upset in the. Anyway, hold on. Before we get to all that bullshit. All right, so we got a huge show. Obviously, we only got five things to talk about, but a lot of it's huge stuff. WWE Survivor Series War Games obviously happened last night, and of course this week was the start of AEW C2 tournament, which is what I'm calling it from here on out.
Okay,
which is easier for me. Especially when it comes to tweeting, because it takes up less characters. Hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving.
But before we get into the wrestling, let's talk about these new shoes I got, okay? They finally came. We talked about them, I think, a little bit on last week's show, maybe. These are my newest shoes. These are the Trey Youngs.
I got these bad boys. You just texted me about these.
Did I text you? I didn't say it on the show. Okay. So last time, the last new pair of shoes I bought and showed off on the show was the Candy Corns from Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
That came after Halloween. These were only $48. I got them 25% off early Black Friday sale with Finish Line, and they were already on clearance. I got 25% off clearance, so I only paid $48 for these. They're fantastic. I love them. I got to stop buying 9.5s because these last few 9.5s that I've been buying have been really tight. It's fucking annoying. So I think I'm going to have to start getting 10s. You still rocking the... Did you put up the goddamn shark thing?
Yeah.
Did you put up the fucking shark shoe? I looked away for 1 second. You threw the fucking shark shoe in there.
It's not a shark. It's an anglerfish.
Whatever, dude.
Look,
fucking
I'm
Pokemon
sorry that,
feet.
I'm right. sorry that I rock.
Put that one to the side. Hopefully he doesn't come over here and try to eat it. Here comes Konami right now. Konami, don't come over here eating my shoe. Konami, don't come over here eating my shoe. Anyway. Shout out to Kelsey on Twitter, big CM Punk fan. If you don't know who she was famous for flipping off Hangman at the beginning of a pay-per-view. Long red hair. She was in the front row. She went viral from that. That was right after Punk had gotten fired. So it was All Out in Chicago. She was in the front row. Stop sniffing my shoe, bro. He's going to try to steal it when I'm not looking. I know it. Anyway,
imagine being a big
she posted a she posted or reposted an like this set of House of Black stuff that came out, and it's only a limited thing. Shirts, hats, but the most important thing on there is the vinyl. And I picked that up before it stops tomorrow. So if you want to get a House of Black vinyl where it has all their theme songs on it, look for that. Like search that up on Twitter. I forgot who the hell makes it. Hold on. Just tell you who makes it. Give me a second. I got the email confirmation. It is wrong email. I think it's the right email. Of course, I've been getting closed casket activities is what's popping up on my thing. So closedcasketactivities.com would be your best bet.
Oh, anyway. Okay. I was actually going to ask if there was anything on there by Brody's actual band. And yeah, they got the
so it's got I think that has all their singles and then of course the actual House of Black theme too.
And then
I got it because they have the Julia theme is why I actually when I saw the Julia theme was on it, I was like, okay, I'm getting it. So it's got the Kings of the Black Throne theme, it's got Julia's theme, it's got Brody's theme, and I think it's got Buddy's single theme too.
Mm-hmm.
It's got at least 5 tracks on it for sure.
So it's the whole House of Black thing, then just the theme for Malachi and Brody, then Julia Hart, then Buddy, then a song by Brody's band.
Is that the one that he came out with when he went against Eddie or no?
The Be Harder song.
Anyway, that's what I got. I grabbed that. It was like $36 in total or something like that, which isn't bad for a vinyl. If you see vinyls these days in stores, even the new ones that come out, they're like fucking around $35 to $40, depending on who it is, what it is, how many songs are on it. So I was like, okay, shout out. I gave her a shout out on Twitter as well for posting that because I would have never known about it. I would have been pissed if I didn't get that. But it's a pre-order. I don't think it's going to ship until like February of next year or some shit. So the order's for that close tomorrow. So if you're interested in that, go pick that up. I was also going to show a clip of the hockey game. I downloaded the entire hockey game that we went to. So they do show our hockey games. They show them on YouTube. I downloaded the entire game, but it was still optimizing the fucking video because it's such a long video. It's like almost four hour video. So I wasn't able to do that in time before the show, but I did watch some of it. And I did find that. Well, the reason I did it is because I did find the part and they did go all the way to the end of the game where he tripped him after the game. And you can see me and Christina immediately pop up and start hitting the fucking glass at the bottom. It's awesome. I was like, okay, so I need this. You can't really tell it's us, but you see two people just jump up and I can tell you right away that's us because I know where we were sitting obviously. But yeah, it was great. And then I was going to clip the part for you where the dude beat the shit out of him in the first period and acted like he won the world title. I saw that part too. Found out that the guy that the Bond guy that scored the first goal, he actually scored our second goal too. So he scored both of our goals. So he was really good. And he's the one that got tripped at the end of the game. I was going to play that on here so you guys could see what the hell I was talking about when I was so hyped about it last week, but didn't get a chance to do it in time. However, we are going to have a chance to talk about this, and that is CM Punk returning to WWE at the end of Survivor Series. It annoyed me. Nitpicking it, not just this, but just like nitpicking people's responses on Twitter, where everybody thought this was a glorious way to debut him because they threw up the copyright thing and they never do that. They do that all the time.
It made no sense. He's coming out there to do what?
He didn't do anything.
Who is he challenging? He just comes out there to stand there and he clapped at and then what? Goes backstage? It's a stupid fucking angle.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves here. Let's talk about that part of it. The nitpicking of people just, I don't know, putting these rose-colored glasses on and acting like this was the first time they've ever done this before in their lives. We literally saw this when Ciampa turned on Gargano in NXT. Way after the fucking graphic was over.
Yeah.
Like, this happens all the time. I'm pretty sure this happened even before that. Like, I think there's more than just two or three instances where this has happened.
The Gargano one stands out the most, though.
Yeah, let's not act like WWE's the only one that does it either, because AEW has done it before as well. Like, this is so weird to me. Like, just going out of your way to pretend that it's a bigger thing than it is. I mean, it's already a big thing, just because of who it is and where he went back to and all the shit that he talked about it. So it's already a big story. It was going to be a big story anyway. You don't need to hype it up with hyperbole. You know what I'm saying?
Hyperbole.
Yeah, I mean, I know what it is. I'm just... Okay. Quesadilla, baby. Jalapeno.
So
you know how we do it down here.
No, I don't. You're a little
somebody
too
told
down there
me,
for
dude.
Me.
No, somebody told me a Black Friday. Like, man, there's not a lot of people buying these books. I was like, dude, we're in Mississippi, bro. No shit. Like, that was my immediate response. Yeah, what? I don't give a fuck how much on sale they are. All right, anyway,
they're on sale.
Let's talk about this. CM Punk arrives back in WWE. Rollins wasn't happy, but we think that's a work. We were told by Triple H in the press conference that only a couple people knew, but then we were later told that everybody that was in that match knew that he was coming out before they went out there, like right before they went out there. And then he also had a shirt that dropped immediately after that was posted. So how did only a couple people know if everybody in the ring knew and they already had a shirt designed for him that got posted immediately on their fucking social media page? Because Triple H wasn't running that at the same time that he took over the production. So this whole notion that only a couple people knew is kind of asinine to me. Drew McIntyre was also visibly upset, pissed off, and left the arena abruptly. But we don't know that storyline because he still ended up losing when he joined the Judgment Day, and the whole point was he was supposed to win with the Judgment Day, or if it's Punk related, or if it's something that went down inside the match, which also could have happened. But what do you think? What do you make of all this? Starting with Punk's return, like literally, Punk comes back, and now all this shit's coming out, and all these different things are happening. Already.
So I did read the report that everybody was told right before the match started, but that doesn't necessarily mean they knew who it was either. They could have all just been told, hey, somebody's going to come out after the match, and they could have probably put two and two together, but they don't necessarily know it was Punk either, you know? So I don't know. But McIntyre left before Punk's music hit, so if they did all know and he was actually mad about that, then... him leaving before they did that kind of makes sense, I guess. But
let me paint a scenario for you, and you tell me how likely this is. So the reports are that we had Triple H just take over the production truck, and he took over with the CM Punk thing at the end, right?
He didn't
queue up fucking Cult of Personality,
right?
So somebody had to know, or he would have told somebody, "Hey, you need to have that ready and available." The fucking video package had to be ready and available. For the best in the world, fucking snow shit that comes on the fucking Titantron and shit. Like, there's no way that Triple H just went in there.
He brought it back there on a USB.
He doesn't know how to work a fucking smartphone. And fucking, you're telling me this man is doing all this shit and took over and only him and one other person knew. Like, that's bullshit.
Yeah. He brought it back there on a USB, said, plug this in.
Yeah, sure he did. Sure he did, guy. Sure he did. Yes,
got
that's
a
funny.
Surprise.
I got this off of Tony Khan's laptop. I drove it over here right away. Plug it in before it's too late. We made it just in time. The copyright thing went up. Fuck.
Yeah. I don't give a shit about Punk being back. And I am never going to give a shit about Punk being back. I don't care. There's nothing he's going to do that's going to interest me. There's not a single match that I want to see. there that I give a shit about him. Okay, who's he gonna fucking wrestle? Cody Rhodes, McIntyre, Sami Zayn. I don't give a fuck about any of these matches. Roman Reigns, they're never gonna, they better not fucking put him over Roman. That would piss me off more than anything. And I just, I don't care. I don't care about a single, like, there's not a single match.
Have you seen any of my tweets about this?
Nah, I've been asleep.
Okay. I didn't think you did because you had watched it later, way later, right?
So, yeah, I watched it this morning.
All right, here's a couple of my tweets, and you let me, like, I'll go one at a time and you let me know. Denise had tweeted out, obviously, what was your reaction to CM Punk coming back to WWE? Drop a GIF. Now, I didn't drop a GIF. I literally quote tweeted it and answered the question. And I said, quote unquote, hypocritical carny was actually my first thought. Still is to some degree, but dude, whatever it takes for him to get his mind right, and if he's happy, it's whatever. Still won't be watching Raw and SmackDown Weekly. Will be watching the PLEs regardless, though, whether he was going to be on them or not, like I just did for that one. You know what I'm saying? That was my first tweet about it, I think. Yeah. Well, I mean, my first tweet was the screenshot of our text where I said, I'm going to rant like a motherfucker on the show if he shows up. And then I had put, well, guess y'all better tune into the show tomorrow because I'll be ready. Rant incoming. The only silver lining to the whole thing was Ryback saying he retired, but then, of course, he reneged on that because he's an asshole, too. Hypocrite. Ryan Satin posted, biggest hypocrite ever. I quote tweeted that and said, not wrong. Rare Ryan Satin win. David Bixbin tweeted out, maybe it's different without Vince. He has Dana White as an ally. Maybe Triple H has matured, but I really don't know if going back to the workplace that you very specifically and very publicly blamed for causing a major mental health episode is entirely healthy. I hope I'm wrong. I tweeted out, Cody, Jade, Phil, three people disrespected by the same company that they all went back to. That's so weird to me. Not that they went back, but that they were all very open about what happened to them publicly and still went back. It's 2023. There's options, and you still going back is weird.
Ain't no options for Punk. He fucked up all his options. So
he apparently had a really strong offer from Impact, and that's not people making light of Impact. Like, it was like legit. They thought he was gonna go until I guess WWE got wind of it and like, no, if he's gonna go to Impact, we're gonna take him because clearly he still wants to wrestle and it's not a money grab type deal.
I don't know why. He's not that good at it.
But my thing is if like I'll get to that tweet in a second. Did this man say he's a different person than 10 years ago? Did you watch the press conference?
No, I started trying to find it on YouTube.
Punk is not on it, but Triple H is on it, and of course they ask him about it. And Triple H said something about him being a different man than 10 years ago, whatever.
No, he's not.
I know. I said, did this man say he's a different person than 10 years ago? Did he not watch Brawl Out?
He's not matured in any way.
This is my favorite tweet that's not getting enough love, I don't think. They're gonna have to have a third world title and bring back Velocity in a year for CM Punk. That's my favorite of my tweets, and I don't know why it's not getting more love. It should. I did tag Survivor Series. I'm pretty sure a lot of people saw it. Anyway,
I think Punk should have to go to NXT. They don't watch AEW.
I think Punk should have to go to NXT and learn under the HBK learning tree, since following Brett's path didn't work out too well for him. And then I said, that was my last one, I think. But I mean, we kept going. I kept quote tweeting other people. Tripp's going to have a meeting before Raw. Too much shit is already happening with the Drew McIntyre and the Seth Rollins thing.
This is part of the Brett storyline, right? You get so pissed off by being fucked over that you leave, and then you come back.
Well, he came back way after, and he couldn't even wrestle anymore. Like, bullshit. He had a stroke.
Yeah, Punk can't either.
All right, first of all, you need to pipe down on that nonsense.
Yeah, Punk can't wrestle.
He can definitely hang in the ring more in WWE than he can in AEW. Corey was genuinely concerned for his friend. Michael Cole knew he wasn't going to do a damn thing. That's when they were holding back Seth Rollins. He was acting like he was going to do something.
It does seem weird that if it's a work that you have those two be the ones to hold him back as opposed to like security or other wrestlers or something. Because the other wrestlers were just kind of fucking standing around. That was kind of weird.
Well, they didn't have a problem with him coming back. Rollins has always had a problem with him.
But that's not what I mean. I mean, like, if it's a work, wouldn't you have them be the ones to be holding Seth back?
That's a great question.
Like you said,
that's a great question. Instead of just Corey, who is his friend in real life, and then Cole,
Because it doesn't make Seth look good to have Michael Cole be the one holding him back. So that doesn't seem like a work to me.
I think it made Rollins look worse. You couldn't get by Cole.
That's what I'm saying.
If you really wanted to go after him, you would have found a way to get after him. Cole is not stopping you.
Yeah, but that's Well, I don't think he was physically trying to go over there. I think Michael Cole is trying to be like, hey, man, hey, buddy.
Relax, I don't know. He kept getting closer and closer. Watch the video, bro. Watch the video.
That's because Michael Cole's not very good at holding him. But
no, Michael Cole was very good. He stopped him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't think he was really trying to go down there.
But, yeah, I don't think he was either. At least, okay, so the news about the Impact thing had Impact Wrestling had made a major money offer to CM Punk, which he was mulling over. Impact sources felt they were actually very close to scoring Punk and hoped he would even be at Bound for Glory as part of the unveiling of the return of TNA. And I said, at least they gave it a real shot. If they have that much money for him, then they can half that and bolster their current roster with a few and make people take them seriously when they rebrand officially happens back to TNA. I like the aggressiveness, though. Like, if you had that much money to pay Punk and he was literally mulling over your thing, why don't you just half that money?
Give it a Ryback.
Half of it in the bank. Take that money and go get some fucking other people that can help your company and round out your roster instead of having, you know, just Punk and then Rhino and Heath Slater or, you know, Sammy Callahan and Eddie Edwards. You know what I'm saying? Like, go round that bitch out a little bit.
They could maybe get Ziggler. I don't know.
Yeah, like a Mustafa Ali, Ziggler, Shelton Benjamin. You could have got all three of them for the same amount that you just probably was going to try to offer Punk.
Danielson's really high on Ali, so there's people are saying he's probably going to.
I understand that, but that doesn't mean he still can't make those offers. I'm seeing a lot of Trips doesn't think Danielson did a good job training Jade comments after the press conference. Let me just say, and I'm not saying he did a bad job or that Jade isn't good, but that just because you're the best in your profession doesn't mean you'll also be a good teacher. That's not throwing shade at Danielson or Jade. I'm just saying, like, people just automatically assuming that Triple H was throwing shade at Daniel Bryan is a little weird to me.
What did he say, like, she's not ready or not?
Yeah, basically. Somebody asked where she's been, like, what we've been asking on the show type deal.
And he said they didn't teach her enough at the other place?
He didn't come out directly and say that. You'll have to watch it. You'll see.
Okay.
Bringing back the house rules. Oh, that's something different. That was all my CM Punk tweets, I think.
Okay.
I was about to say, bring back the house rules match for Julia's reign is a great idea and instantly will make her run with that title feel different out the gate. So I love that. Not relevant to the CM Punk stuff, but...
So, on the CM Punk stuff, now that he's going to be wrestling night four of a buy one, get one extravaganza...
Oh, hey, I do have one more. This one you like. We as the IWC should legit do a pool on which WWE superstar will be the first to cut a promo that will piss Phil off and make the entire thing go off the rails.
It'll be Rollins.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be Rollins or who else is really good on the mic over there that could actually pull that off that has history with him? Roman, I guess, Miz? Could do it, but he's probably going to be on Raw, obviously.
Miz could do it.
Cody could do it. Oh, Miz could definitely do it. Oh, Miz could
all Miz would have to do is bring up the fucking hypocrisy of that goddamn tweet in any sort of like
one of my favorite tweets that I was seeing is like, I can't wait for that first Saudi show to see if he's going to be on it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, you can go ahead with your thoughts on it. I mean, we pretty much already know. I mean, I'm the Punk fan, and you see how I'm reacting, so I can only imagine.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I
feel like he's the biggest hypocritical guy ever, and it's not an AEW versus WWE thing. It's a CM Punk versus WWE thing.
Yeah, WWE thing, yeah. You can't heal in the place that made you sick, but I got time to go be sick again. Also, I don't, like I was saying, there's nothing he's going to do there that I give a fuck about. Like, what his whole gripe was, they never put me in the WrestleMania main event and whatever the fuck. You had one of the longest fucking championship reigns in that entire company for a long time.
What's he going to do? You know, not only that. And a lot of people were actually bitching that they did the Lesnar reign to take over CM Punk's reign so they didn't have to mention CM Punk's name anymore. And now you got Roman that beat his record too. So it's like, for modernized, like, I mean,
times as much.
So, like, the funny thing is like, if you think about it, right? And to your point, like, you literally just said, there's nothing CM Punk can do in WWE that you're interested in. You know why? Because he's already done everything.
Yeah.
He won Money in the Bank twice. He won the fucking world title multiple times. He won the ECW championship. He won tag titles multiple times. Like, what is it that you're going back for? What is it that you're missing? A Royal Rumble win? Like, what is it that you're going to get? That's going to make us like view CM Punk as, oh yeah, he's still got it, or he can still go. Half the guys that are still there, when you were there, you've already wrestled. You already buried them. Well, not buried them, but you squashed them basically because they were really young when you were there last time. Like your Big E's, your Shields, etc. What is it that you're going to do that is going to make us be like, oh man, I'm so excited for this CM Punk match, or so excited for this possible accomplishment with Punk, if that makes sense.
The thing too, so there's been new reports since on McIntyre, and it wasn't just the leaving early thing. When he was backstage in his locker room and shit, he was apparently like slamming doors. Like
He's also got the contract shit coming up too.
His contract, I thought his contract shit already came up and he already agreed to stay.
See, that's what we thought. That's what everybody thought, but that's apparently not the case. Apparently the case is that either he signed a short-term deal or somebody got the timing of the contract wrong. Because now they're saying that his contract is coming up, I won't say very soon, but in the near future, I'll say that.
I mean, that's somebody that knows that he'll be fine on the indies. And the indies ain't the indies.
That man ain't going like to the indies. There ain't no fucking way AEW's not picking that motherfucker up.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is the indies aren't what they were when he was on it anymore either. So he'd probably end up going to AEW. But yeah, dude, like, here's the thing too. Looking at it from his point of view, they just did a big character turn with him. They put him in this fucking match. He loses the match anyway. Now you have some guy coming in doing the thing that he was talking shit about The Rock about, being some old fucker coming back in to basically take spotlight away from people who'd actually been working. Here's what pissed me off about it. He didn't come out to do an angle. He just came out to take attention away from the whole fucking War Games match that had just happened. You didn't fucking do anything. Why is War Games on your new shirt that came out? Because you came out at the end and fucking hugged the crowd? Fuck you. There was just a whole match with 10 people in it where they worked their asses off, because it was a pretty good match for a War Games match or whatever. And then you come out at the end and take up all the fucking cheers and spotlight and what? Why? You're overshadowing Randy Orton coming back, which is a much bigger deal because he's actually a good fucking wrestler. And then, he's going to be in the twilight of his career. This is going to be pretty much his last run. But you overshadow him coming back. You overshadow the entire fucking match that just happened. You basically overshadow the entire event. And for what? To come out and have your fucking ego stroked because people went, your fucking music? Fuck you. You didn't do anything. Why the fuck is War Games on your shirt? That pisses me off. You weren't in a fucking War Games match. You weren't in a match at all. You did nothing. So I'd be fucking pissed too.
Yeah, it'd be one thing if he came out and then like gave the GTS to Seth Rollins and it was to set up a feud right out the gate. But literally just to come out, not go 2 feet past the stage, hug a couple fans, and now magically you have a shirt. Why didn't you just come out with a regular ass CM Punk shirt?
I'm back
on the back of it or something. You know, like. I don't understand. It's whatever. We'll get our. I can't wait to see how he fucking tries to spin this bullshit on Raw. I can't wait.
He's gonna do the same thing as he did when he came back to AEW. He's gonna say, "Well, I couldn't change anything from my couch in Chicago."
I won't watch it live, obviously. Like, I don't watch a lot of WWE stuff live. I'll probably just watch the clip of whatever his promo segment is, so that I can pick it apart on the show. I might watch the show. Sometimes I watch the 3 hours. Sometimes I don't. 3 hours is a long fucking time for that shit show that they call Raw, where it's half of fucking infomercials inside of their own show.
The fucking Ruffles shit all night, bro. What? Like, I don't. It's so distracting. Just a whole fucking light up thing around the whole ring with Ruffles going across. Like, bro, this is so ugly. What are we doing?
I mean, money talks. Goddamn, bro. Clearly,
is that? You've seen Idiocracy, right?
Yeah, that's with one of the Wilsons, right?
Yeah, the brother, not Owen.
Yeah.
But that's what it reminded me of. It's just fucking advertisements on everything for like no reason. Everything's ugly as fuck. It's just all ads everywhere. Like, bro, what are we, Ruffles? And then every shot of the goddamn announcer's desk, just two bags of chips out there. Like, come on, man. That's so stupid. And if you go buy a bag of fucking chips because you saw them on television, you're dumb as shit.
I don't even like the placement of the Woo Energy on AEW, and they only have the two fucking things on the damn Titantron thing. That's the only placement for that. And then, of course, they have the drinks on the announce table. But other than that,
I don't like that shit either. The one advertising thing that doesn't bother me that much that I know a lot of people complain about is advertisements on the mat. Because the DraftKings one's in the corner on AEW shows, I don't even really notice. Because it's black text.
That's also annoying to me that you don't notice them, because then what the fuck's the point of them? An ad is so that you notice it. So, like, it would make more sense if you did notice the ad
It doesn't help out DraftKings if we're all watching it. We don't notice fucking DraftKings, and we only notice DraftKings because of fucking the Daddy Magic goddamn commercial.
I mean, I remember it. I remember it there, so I did notice it that way. But like, it doesn't distract from the match. I mean,
all right. So this
like
is
like a big light up fucking ruffles thing around the ring.
All right, so we can both agree for sure that the way that AEW debuted CM Punk was an A+. And the way that WWE re-debuted CM Punk
is an F. What are we doing? It set up no angle. All it did was overshadow the whole fucking show for a pop. That was so stupid.
I can't wait for you to watch the press conference, dude. I can't wait. You're going to be even more pissed off, I'm sure. I'm not interested. I'm not interested at all, honestly.
In 2014, he left Sports Entertainment. And 2023, he's back, baby. So there you go.
I don't get it. I'm a Punk fan. This is coming from a CM Punk, huge CM Punk fan.
I know, you got
and I'm annoyed as fuck that he is back there. Like I said, it's not an AEW versus WWE thing. It never has been for me. I just prefer AEW, obviously.
Never
because
get
of the shit
of
that you said
alive.
About WWE, and not just on the Art of Wrestling podcast 10 years ago, not just that, no. In AEW when you came back 7 years later.
As a way to shit talk Max.
Yes.
That's the crazy thing, too. Like, okay.
Right after Cody left, you're shit talking WWE to Max. Yeah. Trying to get him to stay. Like, what? Name dropping
and
shit constantly.
Apparently, Max has re-signed already. So there you go.
I mean, I read that too, but I mean, we'll know in February.
I guess.
We'll know at Revolution. If he's on the card at Revolution, we'll know if he re-signed or not. I feel
WWE
like the Devil storyline is so long that there's no way he didn't re-sign. You know what I'm saying? Like, that storyline is going to take fucking forever.
Apparently, WWE said that they haven't, all their talks dropped off, so they assume that he's re-signed. I think it's smart for him to resign anyway. Even if he does eventually have whatever dream of like, oh, I'm going to go, I want to win a Royal Rumble or I want to whatever. He's, my fear is they get him and then they see that he's like 5'7" or 5'8" or whatever he is. Cause he's not a tall guy at all in real life. I don't know what they bill him as, but he's not tall. And then they fuck him. They basically just fuck him. They're like, oh, well, yeah, we brought you over and you're a good talker, but we're going to put you in this long-term thing with Ivar in a singles. Like, what are we doing here? You know, when Punk came out last
thing.
Night.
That's okay, like you said with CM Punk. I'm trying to keep it to CM Punk here. But that's the same with CM Punk. If MJF goes to WWE, is that not the same concept? Like, what do you want to see him? Who do you want to see him go against in WWE that's going to be like, oh, I have to see this match?
That wouldn't be for me about the matchups. That would be, oh, I want to see if he's able to like win the world title or a intercontinental title or what, like, because there are accolades that are specific to WWE for somebody's career. Royal Rumble specifically, like doing like a Hell in a Cell, like that kind of shit. So because he's never done those things, I mean, it's got that level of interest. But as far as matches that he would actually have, the only ones that are interesting to me are Cody, because picking that back up would make sense after their whole thing, right? But it only makes sense because of a storyline in another place, so I don't know that WWE would even fucking go for that. The Miz, just because of the comparison, so I think the promo work on that would be good, even though that is kind of a running joke that somebody would go over to the WWE in their first promos or their first programs with the Miz. I think that one actually makes sense. And then maybe picking back up the Punk thing, if he's still around there, if and when that happens. But I give Punk like fucking 8 months before he torpedoes this shit too by being a piece of shit. So we'll see.
All right. I wonder if there's a long game in Triple H's plan so that he can try to get AJ Lee to come back.
A long game.
speaking of long game, dude, there was somebody that got like super upset about one of my tweets. I quote tweeted. Give me a second. Let me find it. I went through it earlier and I found it. Give me a second. It won't take long.
Well,
there it is. AEW just signed Will fucking Ospreay in his prime, and you think they're worried about CM Punk. That was the tweet. I quote tweeted and I said, bigger long-term move for sure. They're not worried at all, nor should they be. I said, this implies WWE isn't making long-term moves. How the fuck does my
you
tweet
think CM
imply?
Punk is a long-term move?
How does... it doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't imply that WWE isn't making long-term moves. Between the two options given in the original post, they're not. Yeah. Will Ospreay has a lot more years left than CM Punk does.
barring some freak accident, it literally implies nothing outside of that. So don't fucking lump my goddamn quote tweet in with WWE's not making any long-term moves. I know they're making long-term moves. They got fucking Jade Cargill signed. They brought Kyrie back. They got Io Sky as their champion. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? They got Rhea Ripley being dominant as fuck? She's still young? Like, don't come over here with that bullshit.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're not making fucking long-term moves, but out of the two that this fucking guy said, AEW just signed Will fucking Ospreay in his prime, and you think they're worried about CM Punk. All I said was, it was the bigger long-term move for sure. They're not worried at all.
Yeah.
Which is an accurate statement.
Yeah. It's a bigger long-term move doesn't mean
that. And if I had time, that would have been on remark, or mark that remark is what that would have been on, but I didn't have time.
X that X.
mark that X.
Why did we change it? It wasn't because of the Twitter change, was it? It wasn't just because
because the Twitter change, and because I was finding on finding YouTube dumb comments. Shit on all kinds of platforms.
Yeah. I the way that I look at this too is not only did they just get Ospreay, but the amount of signings that they've done recently, just in general, you got Adam Copeland, obviously. That's not like a long-term thing, but it's a really big name as well for them to have.
Shot in the arm for the short term because they got rid of CM Punk.
Did you watch his RJ City thing?
Yes, I did this morning.
Yeah, I did too. It was good. I watched that before I fucking watched the actual theory. Yeah, so everybody's kind of making big moves right now. I don't think that there's any... But the CM Punk thing to me is not... It's the only way that it's a big move is because fans have been chanting fucking CM Punk at their shows for like 10 years. And
Triple H legit fucking signed him just so they stopped chanting CM Punk. Yeah. Because if he didn't sign him and debut him, and everybody was like, oh, they should have signed him, or the initial plan was some shit was for Royal Rumble. I'm like, so he would have to hear CM Punk chants for another fucking 2 months, or we'd have to hear this AEW bullshit with the devil saying that he's possibly the devil for another 2 months. This actually probably did Tony Khan a favor by having this motherfucker come out. Now we can go ahead and squash that shit.
Somebody said that he might still be both like Rick Rude.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious. But I saw that too, but that's not gonna happen.
Hey, look, maybe that's why it took so long to work the deal out. That's
the first ever Adam Cole's injury is gonna be so long before he can come back and be the devil that CM Punk still has time to torpedo his whole situation in WWE, come back, and then they change it to be CM Punk be the devil the whole time. It's possible, dude. It's possible. I still think it might be Britt under there. But anyway, that aside, I'm just not interested, like you said, same concept. Like, he's already done everything. Let's move on to the rest of Survivor Series, though, because I'm done with that shit. Let's talk about our monster review for Survivor Series War Games. It was only 5 matches. Let's throw out the predictions up there. The prediction records, I am still your prediction champion. We tied 4-1 apiece. We only picked different on the War Games matches, so I guess you can guess what happened on those. We both got one right and one wrong. Let's talk about it, though. Let's start with the non-War Games matches, all right? Let's talk about Gunther and Miz for the IC title.
It was good, but there was not a single near fall that I bid on because the whole time I'm just like, he's not winning. Even with the low blow, skull-crushing finale, I did not bite on that even fucking remotely. I was like, okay, he's going to kick out. But it was a good match overall for what it was.
Yeah, shout out to Gunther because I just read an article where he named my current favorite wrestler as the hardest chop he's ever taken.
Oh, Penta?
Penta. That he instantly started bleeding as soon as he got chopped. He said, what the fuck? Looked down and was like, what the fuck just happened? So yeah, that was awesome. Anyway, so yeah, Gunther was obviously going to retain. I mean, we got all three of these are right. Now, were you surprised that Santos beat Dragon Lee pretty handedly in that match?
A little bit. I was surprised with how one-sided it kind of was, or it kind of seemed. Felt bad for Dragon Lee. I guess it kind of makes sense in storyline, because he was like a last-minute backup or whatever, but still.
Yeah, usually that goes bad for the person that he's going into, because they know who Dragon Lee know who he's stepping in to fight. Santos was preparing for Carlito.
Well, that's
and not Dragon Lee.
Yeah. That's not how
they're definitely two different people. But... or styles and shit like that. All right, and then Rhea obviously beating Zoe Stark, which I found was a much more competitive match than I initially thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised how much they gave her too. But yeah, that was a good match too. It seemed like the amount of time it took for her to finally get a fucking riptide was, that was the story of the match. She just like couldn't fucking get one going. But yeah, no, that was cool. I like the face paint deal too. That was neat. But
I need again, that Rhea Ripley action figure. Need that Rhea Ripley action figure.
I was wondering if they're gonna do one with Edge with his half face paint from AEW.
Or yeah, like they did with the CM Punk 3-pack with Darby and Sting. They might do the same thing with them.
Yeah, because his actually looked way cooler than Punk's did.
So. Yeah, that's because Punk tried to do the Surfer Sting with black hair. But
yeah.
The other thing is I feel like that 3-pack would cost more because they got the trench coats too. So I don't know.
Oh no. Big $59.99, baby.
All right, and then let's talk the two War Games matches. We'll start with the women's one because that started the show. No turn yet, but obviously the seeds have been planted. Bayley did take the pin somehow, miraculously. Ryan got this one right. This is the one you got right, right?
I believe actually, yes, because yes, I picked I picked Orton causing fuck ups on the other team.
Yeah, so Ryan got this one right. I got this one wrong. I picked Damage Control to win this because I thought they were going to take it a little bit further before they turn because Dakota's still not technically back from injury yet. So I was thinking they were going to wait for her to come back first. You know, there's a lot of people not talking about this, but you know, Io, Asuka, and Kairi could turn on both of them. They could turn on both of them.
Yeah, they could.
Because, there's Dakota no way Bayley's fighting three partners with Mercedes not being there.
It is weird that they had Dakota Kai out there and didn't just, like, she'll help her get a table in the ring or whatever. She'll help Asuka, I think it was Asuka, get a table in the ring and do all that shit. But then why not just have her actually become part of it, make it a fucking 4-on-5? That makes more sense. Like, obviously, they were booking them to lose, so it wouldn't make sense. But storyline-wise, kayfabe-wise, you have another fucking person who's with you guys out there. Just fucking let her get in the ring.
Couple of nitpicks from this match. The fans, for one. We don't need tables in every fucking match, dude. Okay? We don't. Yeah. I don't need you chanting for tables every time somebody comes down to the ring, they go grab a weapon that's not a table, and you start booing them because, like, you've got a War Games fucking match. It's a double cage, double ring fucking match, and you're complaining about tables. Shut up!
The funny thing is, they did a table in the men's match, and it wasn't even that, like, good of a spot. Who gives a shit? The thing is, tables, I feel like...
The safest weapon that's used?
Yeah, it's way overblown, the table. It's a neat visual, but I don't really give a fuck about somebody going through a table. You watch somebody go through a table enough times, and it's like...
Did you pop more for MJF popping his fucking hip out of place on Jay White, or did you pop more for table spot on War Games? Like, let's be
right. Right, exactly. Yeah, MJF doing the jump to the outside without a table to break his fall is way sicker. Then, I put somebody through a table. In a War Games match where you're already surrounded by all fucking
MJF RKO to the outside, straight to the ground, was sicker than a fucking table spot.
That, the fucking cutter. Except for the fact that it completely no-sold his leg injury to do the run-up, but whatever.
But he put all he had into that last little run, dude. It was his last burst.
Then he should have sold it after he landed.
The last burst effort.
Yeah, whatever. He could have limped along. I don't know. I wasn't a fan of that spot because it completely undermined the whole fucking injury point of the match, but whatever. I mean, it looked
that
cool
he didn't
spot.
Get enough height on it because he was selling his leg so much. He did skim the top rope. He didn't make it. He didn't clear it.
Yeah, it's because his ass was 5'8".
That's because his leg hurt, guy. Leave him alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. His leg has a boo-boo.
Yeah. All right. Look, I love MJF, but it was just not it didn't make sense in the match.
All right, what grade are we giving the women's War Games match? It's not the best one, for sure.
Yeah, but it wasn't bad either. The EO trash can spot was interesting, I guess. She's done it before, but what did you think about all the Becky Charlotte shit in it?
I don't have a problem with it. I don't know where the hell they're like going with it in the future. Well, I really hope they don't fucking have another feud or
they had like a really exciting
tag team run or something.
It,
I don't fucking know. I think Becky's gonna be the next challenger for Rhea Ripley, like the legit challenger that could take it off of her. So like Charlotte's on a different brand anyway, so maybe if it's time, it's fine for a one night thing.
I thought that it was a little bit overdone because it's not like they had issues in the match. The one thing that it actually led to a problem with was they did a head bump spot where one person had to run around behind Becky like she didn't fucking see her and then push her into
Charlotte. So you see Io Sky's forehead from the Charlotte moonsault.
Yeah. It looked like her chin or her knee popped her right on the fucking top of the head. I will say that
Charlotte and Kyrie need to stop being in the same ring together.
They are not.
There's no chemistry whatsoever between those two.
Yeah, now the moonsault spot, Io definitely caught Charlotte's right leg on top of the head.
It would have been crazy if she would have caught Kyrie instead of Io, because that would have been like the cherry on top of like, Jesus Christ, dude. Like, well, but for real, like when Charlotte first came in and started fighting Kyrie, dude, they were not on the same page at all.
When the moonsault spot happened, I was watching Io on the ground to see it. Like, oh, is she fucking concussed? Because I thought she was
concussed too. Yes,
hit her on top of the fucking head. But she seemed all right. Well, she seemed okay when she was getting up. She wasn't moving weird. She was doing the spots right afterwards. So
I'm gonna give it a B for the women's war game match.
I was gonna give it like a
star rating. I'm just gonna
B plus or B minus. I wasn't really sure. Because
I have to watch the match more than once to do a star rating. But like, if I'm grading the match, I'm just say B.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I would probably do like B minus, so because still kind of averages out to a B anyway. But
Shotzi did good. Shotzi didn't break her neck, so that was good.
Shotzi is
not for lack of trying, but she didn't break her neck, so that's good.
The thing with Shotzi to me is like it's almost like she feels like she doesn't belong there, so it makes me feel like she doesn't belong there. Like, it feels like she's playing a character. It feels like she's like she doesn't believe that she's as good as everybody else in the ring with her. And it's like a weird insecurity that kind of shows through, that's clearly not meant to be part of her character all the time, but it's still there. So it kind of takes me out of
looking
a lot
at
of
the rest
stuff.
Of the people in that match. It's going to be hard for any of those that eighth person to be in there and not feel that way.
Yeah, but you know, you're there, right? So
yeah, but unless that shit was Mercedes or Naomi or some shit, like that's just not going to happen. Who else is on the roster that's going to be besides Rhea? Who's going to step in there and be like, oh yeah, I belong here on that roster?
You got booked there, so you belong there. That's the way I look at it. You got to, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, even Undertaker and Ric Flair lost confidence at one point. Not to say that she ever had it, but I feel like she had confidence in NXT. She was doing some crazy shit in NXT, dude.
Yeah.
All
right, men's match.
Oh yeah, men's match. What grade are we giving this one? Because, I mean, it felt like we were doing the same thing as the women's match. A lot of the same weapons and the same order and a lot of that stuff. Table at the end, like what the hell?
Actually, there wasn't a lot of weapon use in this one. Like it happened, but it wasn't like a major part of the match or anything. There's obviously the table spot and stuff, but like this wasn't like a very weapon heavy War Games match at all. Which is fine. It's not like the first couple War Games matches in history. It's not like there were weapons of those, right? I don't remember.
Are you surprised Rhea didn't get more involved than what Dakota did in her match?
What do you mean?
Dakota got a lot more involved in that War Games match than Rhea did in this one.
I was like, it's a men's match. I forgot. Yeah, Judgment Day. You know what? Which one of us said the thing about him trying to do the cash in the middle of the match? Was that you or me? I don't remember.
I think I made a joke about it. I wasn't saying it seriously. Yeah. But, I mean, it happened, and then it didn't happen, so it doesn't matter. Happened.
Yeah. But, yeah, no. I mean, surprise, not really, I guess.
Can I ask a question? I just want to ask this, because if you literally don't say Orton's name on Raw, but you allude to him heavily, then Damian Priest, or Rhea Ripley comes out with the briefcase to do this Damian Priest cash-in that was clearly a plan.
And you know spot. He's coming out.
Why didn't Punk be the one to fucking intercept it? And then he could have started a feud right away with either Damian Priest or somebody else in the Judgment Day. He could still had Randy be the fourth person. Or fifth person, rather. Yeah, fifth person. But you could have had Punk stop that. Like, that would have been crazy to me.
But what would his motivation be? Why does he give a fuck? Why does he give a fuck who's the
Because
champion?
He wants to be the one to take it off of Rollins instead.
I don't think Rollins wants to work with him.
I don't either, but that's not the point here. The point is, we're mad because there's nothing that was set up in the pay-per-view. I'm giving something to be set up at the pay-per-view to look forward to.
Well, now, if they wanted to do that, the way to do it would be everybody
Orton come out first and then have the cash in try to be happening before that or after Orton came out already? Because like if Punk comes out and does that, you still have Orton to come out, and then it kind of takes the shine away from Orton. So you have to have Orton come out first.
It'd be Judgment Day winning the match and then try to do the cash in after the match with all five of them beating down.
Yeah, that could have worked too. But then you would have been right, and I can't have that.
Yeah. But I mean, if you wanted to make his arrival make sense,
then what you do is not have Punk there at all.
You have them win, and at the end, you have them tie up a couple of the guys to ropes or whatever so they can't help. It's like a fucking five person beatdown on Rollins, and then you have Rhea run out with the briefcase to do the cash in, and then Punk's music hits. And he comes onto the ring to stop it, and they all fucking scatter. Like, that would be something where the booking would actually fucking make sense for him to be there instead of him just coming out and waving and doo-doo-doo. Like, that is...
You know, I don't look forward to Jim Cornette's thoughts on pretty much anything anymore.
Anything, yeah.
But he was very complimentary of AEW's handling of CM Punk's debut.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's going to feel the same way about the way WWE did it when it was drastically different and a lot less effective.
If he tries to say that this was good, then he's out of his fucking mind. And he already is. We already know not to take him seriously because of his level of bias on literally everything. But if anybody tries to pretend that this was like a good debut, they're fucking stupid. It made no sense.
All right. Overall grade for the pay-per-view. What are we giving it? Five matches. It was only a 5-match pay-per-view. It felt like it went on forever.
It did. C+. It wasn't bad, but you know what? I'll go a little bit higher. I'll go B-, because it was like a passable pay per view. They were all good matches.
I'll go to B- like because of the two War Games matches. I'll go to B-.
There wasn't like a B-
as well. I agree with you on that.
Just the three undercard matches were all so predictable, and then the War Games matches, nothing super crazy happened. It wasn't like the best War Games matches of all time or anything, but they were fine. Like, nothing got fucked up.
Yeah, and you know what I would have liked to have seen in there, though, is a couple. I would like to have seen a couple minutes shaved off the Rhea match, the Gunther match, and the Santos match, and had a traditional 4-on-4 Survivor Series match with your LA Knights and your Jimmy Usos and your Solo Sikoas and shit like that. Got left off this fucking card with a shit ton of star power for no other reason than that we have to have two fucking War Games matches take fucking a shit ton of time.
It is pretty funny that you've got Roman Reigns as the 3-belt holding single champion and not even on one of the big 4 pay-per-views. That's fucking crazy.
The second longest pay-per-view in their history after WrestleMania. That's crazy. Not even there. Like, you couldn't even put him on a team of 4 people. It could have been him, Solo, Jimmy, and fucking Paul Heyman, for all I care, against LA Knight and find 3 other people. Like legit. Like, I don't understand. I don't get it.
Yeah, because he could have done, what, KO?
Yeah, KO and New Day, maybe. Something like that.
New Day. Yeah. Yeah, speaking of New Day, any word on Big E ever fucking returning? Like, I know he's
I heard it wasn't. I heard it wasn't looking good, honestly.
Yeah. Sucks. I think he'd be a good commentator, though.
Yeah. B- for the Survivor Series War Games 2023.
Can you imagine him and Taz in a fucking booth?
Let's move. Oh, Jesus Christ. By the way, speaking of Taz and Big E and all that, dude, Randy Orton looks like he's 5 pounds away from the meat division.
Oh, yeah, man. He's looking jacked, baby.
He was a thick boy.
That's a lot of time off with a lot of TRT, so he's good to go. That man looked fucking huge.
TRT, that means turkey for all you little kids out there watching.
Yeah,
a lot of turkey.
Eat your turkey if you want to get big and strong.
Alright, let's move on to some AEW Continental Classic. The C2, baby. Gold League happened on Wednesday night. Got the updated standings up here. I'm going to try to do this every week and keep up with it, and we'll have the updated things as long as they keep posting them and I can grab the graphic. Alright, so Gold League. All right, we had Moxley. He beat somebody. Mark Briscoe.
Yep.
And then we had Lethal lose to somebody. Lethal lost to...
Well, Lethal also lost to Moxley, right?
Oh, Lethal lost to Moxley. My bad.
No. I'm sorry. That's next. That's on.
Oh, that will happen.
That's this Wednesday. Yeah. It was Swerve.
Swerve beat Lethal.
Yeah.
And then Jay White beat Roosh. All right. So my favorite match in this whole thing that I was looking forward to as soon as the Gold League dropped is going to happen on Dynamite, and that's Jay White versus Swerve, and I'm so fucking hyped for this match. No upsets for the Gold League in the first night. How are we feeling about the first night matches for the C2 for the Gold League?
I thought the Jay White and Roosh match was really fucking good. It's like a tight 13, 14, 15 minute match. Obviously the no interference thing helps a lot because there was no bullshit with Jose or Bullet Club Gold or anything like that. It was a pretty straight up match. I like Roosh a lot, but I want to see him get like a good push at some point toward like a singles title or whatever. But right now with Jay White just coming off that loss, it just made way too much sense to have Jay win. They booked it right. Like it was a good.
Do you have an issue with the reports about Jay White being upset about the booking of the MJF match?
Do I have an issue with it? No, I think he's right.
Do you? Because I don't.
We kind of talked about this, but if you're going to book a match where you have a guy come in with like a major disadvantage, it does make the other guy look bad to still lose despite that major disadvantage. I get that part,
but you had the advantage the entire feud, so how weak did you really look?
You
had the one up on the champion the entire feud until the final match.
And you still lost to a one-legged guy. That's the problem.
It doesn't matter, though. Zach Gowen beat a lot of people in WWE. Nobody was bitching about it.
Everybody bitched about it.
Nobody bitched about that shit.
Brother, you don't remember, but like people.
Yes, I remember. Nobody bitched about losing to Zach Gowen in WWE.
Do you think if he? Okay, well here's the other thing about that comparison too is that he adapted around that his whole life versus it being an injury that MJF was actively living
with. Okay, that's fine. Kayfabe, sure.
Yeah, but. Either way, I still feel like Jay White...
He was also 118 pounds, maybe.
Well, he'd be more if he had another leg. So, Jay White... Well, that's... that's true.
I honestly was not expecting that response. I don't know why I wasn't. That sounds like something I would say, but I was not expecting that. Anyway, right. It doesn't matter, dude. Nobody was mad about listening to him.
Jay White's right. It was not good booking. They shouldn't have booked an angle.
I'm not saying it was stellar booking or anything, but to be upset about it is ridiculous to me when... You looked strong the entire feud, all the way up to it.
You looked weak at the part that mattered.
But it doesn't matter. That's how it always goes.
The thing is, too, they did kind of try to save it with the ring spot and the, you know, the weapon interference bullshit. But, like, still, if they would have done more with Adam Cole getting involved, hitting him with the crutch, something like that, I would have been way more okay with it. But the ring.
I honestly don't think they could because he's literally not cleared. And you know, I don't know if they do it like WWE does, where like
you can't do anything physical.
You literally
at all?
Can't do nothing if you're not cleared. Yeah, basically, yeah.
That's I feel like he could have hit him with a crutch from the outside and been all right.
I'm not saying you can't, but I'm saying for insurance purposes or whatever the fuck legalities, I don't fucking know.
They're
how
already
it works.
Paying for all this shit. Who cares?
It doesn't matter, dude.
Listen, you can't say insurance purposes when you know 100% Tony Khan's ass is paying for that whole surgery and everything else related to it. Just because he likes Adam Cole, even if it wasn't already agreed on, he'd still fucking do it. But no, I agree with Jay White, and I would be pissed too, because you're coming into somebody that was like top of fucking New Japan for a long time, going over guys like Okada, and then you come in, you run an angle where you basically make a guy fucking hobbled, and then he comes back, hobbles down, and still ends up beating. That's crazy to me. Should have never done the leg injury spot at all. It should have been a straight up match, and then still done the ring spot, and then I think that would have been okay.
I got a chat in here. I don't know why it's not popping up on my studio up on the corner. Going back to the CM Punk thing, Magma said, hate to spoil the CM Punk party, but what if Judgment Day opened up Raw and asked Punk to join? It would bring more star power to bring down Roman. Yeah, that's not going to... Oh, I don't know. That might be two different... replying to two different things that we're talking about. But sure. If they asked Punk to join Judgment Day, that'd be funny, but it's not going to happen. Well, I think it would piss off Drew McIntyre even more.
He should join Judgment Day. He should join Judgment Day.
They try to get Jey Uso, then Drew McIntyre. If they didn't join, they ain't getting fucking Punk too. But anyway, Gold League. So we've got Jay White with 3 points, John Moxley with 3 points, Swerve Strickland with 3 points. No upsets, nor should there have been. I mean, Roosh winning wouldn't really been an upset anyway. in my opinion. I guess upset based off a recent booking, but with Jay White coming off the loss, it's not like he couldn't have handled another loss. Maybe you could have had him start fucking melting down a little bit and going back into like the legit Switchblade, being more serious instead of fucking around all the time.
You know what match I'm looking forward to most in out of all the blocks? You said that yours is Jay stupid. White versus no. You said yours is Jay White versus Swerve. Mine is Moxley versus fucking Jay White.
Yeah, that they've never wrestled, right?
Not that I know of.
I don't think Jay White and Swerve have either. They were doing the, for that one.
When they were doing all the IWGP US stuff, it was mainly Moxley with Juice, Archer, a couple other people. But I don't think White was in that mix at the time. I think he was in the world title mix at the time. So,
all right. So, do you still think? I mean, it's early, obviously, but do you think it's Moxley's league to lose?
Or Swerve's. I would wait to see how they book the Jay White Swerve match before because if they have Swerve go over Jay White as well, I would say Swerve might be the one primed to win the block.
Swerve and Jay White might see go the distance. One of these are gonna go. So it's gonna be at least one draw in each could league.
Could be Mark Briscoe. You know what? Another match happening next week though in the blue block.
Let's go. You want to go to the blue block? We can go to the blue block. Blue league.
Yeah.
All right, here's the blue league right here. Let's go over what happened this week. Really fucking last night. All right, so there's only two matches that take place so far because Danielson's match doesn't happen till... Oh, now the chat just popped up. It's just really late. No, that's not a good thing. Has Omega extended his contract with AEW for what's happening with him and the Young Bucks? They both did, yes. They both extended for 4 years. And yeah. Paige did, too.
And they're not going to WWE with Punk's dumbass there now.
Yeah, they're not going to WWE. they're not going. They're locked up. It's hard for me to read this because it's so small, but so Claudio got the 3 points for beating Garcia, and then Brody got the 3 points for beating Eddie Kingston. In the main event.
A little bit of an upset.
That's the only upset so far. Danielson is not going to lose to Andrade. Oh, is it Andrade that he has to wrestle?
Danielson's doing Kingston next week. Andrade is Garcia.
That doesn't make any sense.
On Collision of next week, it's Danielson versus Kingston and Garcia versus Andrade and Brody King versus Claudio.
And you're positive on that?
I'm pretty sure he is. I'm 100% on the Andrade versus Garcia thing, so I know it's not Danielson and Andrade. And I'm pretty sure it's Danielson versus Kingston.
Trying to look it up right now. Give me a second.
Well, the Danielson-Kingston stuff is going to have, you know, a decent amount of callbacks to their whole feud from earlier, so that'd be good. The way that they wrap that up with, you know, Kingston getting the loss and never really getting it back or anything, and then coming off of a loss to Brody King already, I don't know who they have win that one, but I would be very surprised if they have Danielson lose his first match in the entire tournament too. So Kingston might be going on an 0-2 run to start the tournament, which is pretty crazy considering he's one of the ones that was really pushing for the tournament to begin with, and it's two of his belts on the line as part of the Triple Crown. So that's a lot.
Still looking. Give me a second. All right, so Gold League is going to be Moxley and Lethal on Wednesday.
Briscoe and Roosh.
And it'll be Jay White and Swerve, and then, Briscoe and Roosh. So I'm saying Roosh, I don't know. I think it's going to be a draw between Jay and Swerve, and then I'll go Moxley.
I guess I could do a draw. It kind of, the 3-1 thing kind of messes up a lot of the points scenarios on the shorter six person. Because it's a 2-point gap all of a sudden, which you've only got really a few matches. You've got a handful of matches. Each person has 3, right? So it's kind of fucks stuff up. Like, the most points you can get is 9. So to take up 1, even if you win your other 2, you're still at 7. That's Rough. Yeah, I mean, I guess they could. They might do a. They might do a draw. I've got Rush obviously winning against Briscoe, and then Moxley for Lethal. I think those two are pretty foregone conclusions.
Yeah, I'm not seeing anything about what the matches are. I know somebody announced them, but I'm not seeing a confirmation on any of that shit.
You don't. You don't suppose, I mean, between Briscoe and Lethal, one of them has to get a fucking win at some point, right? But I mean, because obviously they're gonna go against each other. But who the fuck ends this thing 0-3?
Between who?
Briscoe and Lethal.
Who cares? Blue League is so much better.
I'm
than
sorry,
Lethal
not
League.
Three. It's fucking five. I'm so stupid. They all have five matches, but still, it like who are. Are they going to go 1-4 and 0-5? That doesn't make any sense.
No, they could draw in their match together and get 1 point apiece.
I think if I was the 20-minute Mark Briscoe Jay Lethal draw.
All right. So yeah, I don't know. I guess Danielson wasn't cleared another thing, but there's no reason for him not to have had his match. If he was cleared, though. So that was weird to me that he just didn't have his fucking match with Andrade.
Yeah.
I thought that was odd.
I got time to make it up. I'm great.
Okay, so far, are you liking the tournament, though?
Yeah, I mean, like I was saying when we were first talking about it and, like, who's put in it and stuff like that, I do think having, like, a Jay Lethal and a Mark Briscoe in it, it does kind of take away a little bit of it because you know that they're not going to be guys like Moxley or Jay Wyatt or whoever. I think the Blue League is, it's hard to say that it's better because you got Swerve, Jay Wyatt, Moxley, and Rush in the other one. So I don't know that the Blue League is better, but it's definitely more consistent across the board because even with Garcia and Andrade and Brody King and Kingston, like guys that can take losses. They're also guys where you don't necessarily know the outcome for any of the matches that they would be in. So
it might be hard for you to say. I'll say it. The Blue League is better.
But you're, like I'm saying, you're only saying that because of Briscoe and Lethal.
Yeah,
otherwise,
because they bring down the league. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But I feel like the other four in gold are better than everybody in blue.
The damage control versus Shotzi, Becky, Charlotte, and Bianca. What team is better?
Damage control, probably.
Okay. You know why? Because Shotzi brings the other team down. It's the same concept here.
Kind of. It was more because Asuka and Io
I'm not
Sky
saying the other four dudes that you mentioned aren't really good, but they're not enough to outweigh the people that are bringing the fucking league down.
Why are you being a Shotzi hater?
Not
so. Are you hating on Shotzi?
I'm just saying. I'm just using it as it's a modern example that I can point day to. I'm not going to go back into the annals of fucking history over here. Those are shit that you don't even know what I'm talking about. So I use something that is very fresh in our brains.
I know.
And it's very fresh. Nah, come on, man. You don't even know anything about Sonny T. Boston. Shut up. I'll start that shit.
Yeah, I do. I know he wasn't good.
You're so full of shit.
And he wasn't fucking good.
You're full of shit.
I can do a Brawl style. Look, I did a DDT in Japan. I'm good. Shut up. Anyway. What
the fuck are you talking about? Anyway. All right, okay. Okay, so like, I don't want to say grade because not even all the first round or first, not even everybody's already on. Not everybody has even gone with their first match yet, so I don't want to grade it. But yeah, so you're like, but you're enjoying the product so far. Like, I really like the detail. They throw the thing up there. They throw the Blue League and the Gold League. They have them separated so that fans go into those things. Know, hey, if I'm going to fucking Collision and Rampage, I'm going to go see Blue League matches. If I'm going to Dynamite, I'm seeing Gold League matches. I do like that. You a fan of that thing too? Are you a fan of that, those kind of like details being thrown into this?
Yeah. So what is this? What's this thing that they're apparently running on the 6th in Montreal? So Collision's on the 5th. So they've got the way that this is laid out on the wiki for some reason. It's got Collision on the 2nd, then Collision again on the 5th, and then TBA on the 6th. Is this like a fucking taping? What's going on here?
House show, maybe? Fuck if I know.
Maybe.
I don't know. They haven't done a house show in a while.
Hmm. Oh, you know what? It might be like one of the Winter is Coming type fucking special shows that they put on for like an hour after the normal show or something. Because they have to have time Battle somewhere to make up the match that.
What day is the December 6th on? Sunday?
I would assume it's a Sunday, right? But
no, it's a Wednesday. It's a Dynamite.
Okay, so they're taping Collision at Dynamite? Because it says Collision on there. Or somebody just fucked up. I don't know. But
yeah, it could be fucked up, but it's possible that they just tape it too. You never know. Well, I know Tony Khan likes to give a lot of people days off in December, so you never know. It could be that too.
What it says is Collision is on the 5th. And that's a Tuesday.
Yeah, that's different. All right.
I don't know what the fuck's going on there, but whatever. But yeah, no, I like the tournament setup so far. I think there's still a lot of good matches to come out of it, so all good there.
All right, and the final topic of the day, if my computer holds up, it's doing pretty well so far. Yuta wins the Pure Championship back. Shibata, rumored to be going back to Japan immediately. Thoughts on this? And you said you had the latest update type, like not update, but like you were reading about it or whatever before the show.
Yeah, so it's not like he's unhappy with anybody or any kind of thing. He was actually totally fine with the angle. Everything was good. Like he was apparently completely fine with the way that he ended up losing the title and everything like that. Word is just based on the immediacy of all of it. It's either like some kind of fucking family emergency, like a health emergency that he can only have treated there, or related to like work visa issues. But it's not anything about the company itself. He's already signed. Like he's good. Doesn't have any complaints or anything about the company itself. It's something personal. So nobody really knows what it is exactly, but what they do know for a fact is that it's not like a complaint about booking or anything like that. So.
All right, that's good to know. But yeah, do you like the Yuta win? Like, I feel like.
No, I probably would have done somebody else.
Somebody else? Yeah. See, I was thinking the same thing. Cause like, all right. So you're sitting there if you've been paying attention to the show the past few months, you know that I'm not a huge fan of how integrated Ring of Honor is with AEW.
Yeah.
This does not help that. Shibata was literally really not ever on AEW. Almost ever. Well,
Shibata won the belt off of Yuta originally, so there is that.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. But I don't know.
But I just don't... there's could have been... There, you have nobody in Ring of Honor that you've built up.
Bring over fucking Zack Sabre Jr.
Fucking show every week.
With the Pure title too, though, it's like it's one of those things where it's like, okay, well, there's certain people you want to have it because they can wrestle that style. And when Yuta had it, he did do good at that style, I guess.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with him holding it. I have an issue with him holding it because he's so predominantly featured in AEW. That's my issue. Like he just had this issue with Samoa Joe. Now he had to drop the fucking Ring of Honor TV title.
But
he's been built up so much on AEW because he's always there that they've had to put him in the fucking world title picture, and now he's not in Ring of Honor anymore.
But he's not going to be for a while because all three of the other members of BCC are in this fucking tournament.
I get all so that, he's just not going to be on TV though.
Well, no matches. He's going to be on Ring of Honor.
I mean, I know he can't be out there for their matches because he's barred or
whatever. Ring of Honor now. It's not a big deal.
Okay, well, if he stays on Ring of Honor and doesn't show up on AEW, then I change my stance on that. But it doesn't change the overall stance of. People need to stop being so fucking integrated if they signed a Ring of Honor contract showing up on goddamn AEW TV when you have a weekly Ring of Honor show. Do better with Ring of Honor.
Yeah. Out of people that are currently in Ring of Honor, and as far as like who I would have had take the title off of Shibata instead, it's not like there's some long list that isn't already involved in something else or part of the tournament or whatever, so it's whatever. Dalton Castle, maybe?
You could get he's outsized. He outsizes Shibata, right? And you could easily have him because he's an actual wrestler. Get him in three quick holds and have him use up all his tag things, and then be like, okay, now he's at a disadvantage type deal. Like, there's ways you could have done it, I think. But I mean, if Yuta, because he's barred from ringside in the C2 tournament with the other three guys being in it anyway, if he's not going to be on AEW TV anyway, and you can use him in Ring of Honor as the Pure Champion while Shibata is in Japan, I'm cool with that. I'm fine with that. But I'm just talking about, like, overall, though, dude. Come on, man.
I think if you had asked me, do you want to see Yuta do a dick kick to win or fucking Dalton Castle win a straight-up pure rules match by, like, going back to his wrestling base and fucking wrestling, I would rather see Dalton Castle. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'd rather see Dalton Castle regardless, but whatever. I'd rather see Dalton Castle do a dick kick than Wheeler Yuta do a dick kick. So it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter how it plays out. I'd rather see Dalton Castle. But it's going to be a hard sell to sell Dalton Castle beating fucking Shibata after you just lost to Nick Wayne, though, too.
With interference.
Do you like the setup with Hook coming in to be the main antagonist to, or regular protagonist to Wheeler Yuta's title now? Because if that's the case, then guess what they're going to be on, dude? They're not going to be on Ring of Honor.
It might be.
That shit will not be on Ring of Honor. It's not going to be on Ring of Honor. That is clearly going to be on AEW. It'll be at World's End.
You say that like nobody watches Ring of Honor.
They will literally be at World's End for that fucking title.
That's fine.
Might be pre-show, but it'll still be at that show.
What is the next Ring of Honor pay-per-view anyway?
Ring of Honor Final Battle probably is a Friday. That's why they've been doing their fucking shit. I would say probably whatever the second week is, I would say. The 15th, maybe, sounds good. I highly doubt he does two back to back again.
15th final battle in Texas.
Hey, good guess from me. How about that? But yeah, that makes the most sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, they might have it on there, and then they might have a rematch at World's End. I don't fucking know, dude. I don't know what they're gonna do.
I don't know how long Shibata's gonna be gone, but I would imagine when he comes back, they might not even put him back in the pure title picture. They might move him up to something else.
I don't know if they've ever done it before, because there's a big chunk of Ring of Honor where I didn't watch. I watched the very beginning when it was really, like, I was really getting Tyler into the indie stuff. And I watched the later stuff. Do what?
Tyler Black.
Yeah, obviously. I watched Tyler Black, Danielson, Omega, Necro Butcher.
The Young Bucks on Banana like Peel Spots.
Jimmy Jacobs, shit like that, Samoa Joe, Nigel McGuinness. That's what I watched. But anyway, Punk.
Never heard of him.
What about the first ever three-way pure championship match?
You could do that. It'd be hard to do rules on.
It can't be. How? You've got the graphic up there for the rope break thing. You just put three of them up there instead of two.
Because there's no rope breaks in a three-way anyway, are there?
But there are in a pure rules match. That's dumb. You've already changed everything else. Shibata versus Wheeler versus Hook.
Use a closed fist to break up a pin. That's a point.
Be awesome. All
right.
And then at the end of it, they go the distance, they go to the three judges, and they all vote for one vote for each person to the draw. It's like you get like Muta up there to vote for Shibata, you get Taz to vote for Hook, and you get like Claudio to vote for Wheeler Yuta. it's so clearly rigged, and it's like, fuck, what the fuck just happened, dude? That'd be so funny. All right, that's going to do it for the show. Fuck it.
All right.
We didn't have that much today. Like I said, I didn't want to do a three-hour show on Punk. We did talk about it. We'll be back next week. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And next week, I'm actually going to show off all the things I've gotten to donate to the Humane Society. So be ready for that as well. I got it all. I just got to get it together. I'm going to take some pictures. I'll probably just throw some pictures up on there instead of just like bringing it out like it's show and tell type deal, because that'll take fucking forever.
Look at all these paper towels.
Yeah, look at all these frisbees and tennis balls and food I got. Yeah. Check out each individual 30 boxes that I grabbed. I'll probably just take a picture of it and post it up there. But hope you guys enjoyed it. We will see you next week. Have a great week. Deuces.